If someone you love was suffering from a serious mental illness or seemed like they were on the verge of a psychotic breakdown, you might think you could turn to a psychiatric hospital for help. But in California, that might not do you much good. Institutions have the right to turn a person away unless they've been taken into custody. More than 90% of patients in California psych hospitals have dealt with the police first. Mother Jones reporter Mac McClellan learned how this system worked after a tragic incident in her own family. She wrote about it in a recent issue of Mother Jones magazine and sat down with KALW's Casey Miner to tell that story and to talk about the gaps in our mental healthcare system.
In the case of my cousin, a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, he had a psychotic break and he murdered his father. And at the time, nobody really knew what was going on. For several months before that, almost up to a year, he had been exhibiting symptoms. Nobody really knew what was wrong with him. There was just something sort of off, and they tried to get him into treatment and take him to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist noted that he had possible schizoaffective disorder, but put him on antidepressants because he thought maybe it was just that he was sad. They were trying to figure out how to get him into a facility, into an actual hospital, but pretty much the only way to do that, and they live in Santa Rosa, which is in Sonoma County, and the only way to do that there, which is true of a lot of counties in California, is to call the police. So if you want to go to a psych hospital because you think you're having a nervous breakdown, somebody would have to call the police, and they would have to decide that you were a danger to yourself or to your others, and the bar for that is very high. So if you were actively homicidal, then the police would, you know, get you into a facility somewhere. But that wasn't what was going on with my cousin, and so his parents didn't want to call the police, and they didn't, and he had his first psychotic break, and unfortunately it involved a lot of extremely violent delusions, and he ended up killing his dad.
And so at that point, a person becomes involved with the criminal justice system anyway, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what happens next at that point when you have somebody who has committed a violent act because they're severely mentally ill?
Well, then you end up in jail, which is, you know, the Department of Justice thinks that there's about 55% of all of the inmates in our state prisons are mentally ill. One of the experts that I talked to for this story, he's the director of government relations for the California Psychiatric Association, and he said that, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 worth of treatment saves $50,000 worth of jail time. But the calculations aren't done that way. You know, you don't sort of make a spreadsheet with the resulting costs of cutting mental health care when you're cutting mental health care. And so California is at the top of the states that have made just massive, huge cuts to services. We don't have a lot of preventative care. We have Proposition 63, which was passed several years ago to sort of shore up some of the funding that was missing. But as that funding came in, we also continued rolling back all the, you know, normal state and local services. And so we've regressed in the amount of treatment that's available overall. I mean, you live in California, you see the effects of this. There are so many mentally ill people on the streets. And if you talk to anybody who worked in any of our jails or prisons, they would tell you that they're becoming basically mental health facilities.
Speaking with Mac McClellan, she's the human rights reporter for Mother Jones magazine and author of a cover story about the disintegration of mental health services in California and across the country. One of the neighborhoods that you focus on in the piece is the Tenderloin in San Francisco, where there is a high homeless population, a high mentally ill population. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what you've seen there and kind of the conversations that you had with folks who are working in that neighborhood trying to deal with this population on a day-to-day basis.
It's hard to get people into treatment and into regular treatment when they're homeless if you can't take care of that problem first. Emergency housing lists have been shut down in San Francisco because they're so overfull. And so they're kind of doing damage control for a lot of people because they don't have the resources that they need. A lot of the patients there, though, are not what is generally termed severely mentally ill, which would be schizophrenia, very serious bipolar, things that you associate with people who might need help forever, you know. A lot of her patients are suffering from depression, non-psychotic, non-major depression, PTSD, things that are theoretically treatable. And so if they just had the money to be able to get these people the resources that they need and the treatment that they need, then they could cure them and sort of get them off the, you know, these welfare rolls that people are always freaking out about how much they cost. And if they'd had preventative services, you know, they wouldn't have ended up in the Tenderloin in the first place. If they would have gotten treatment 20 and 30 and 40 years ago when they had the onset of trauma or depression, then they wouldn't have ended up on the streets in that neighborhood and in this outpatient clinic that doesn't have the resources to serve them. You know, California was the pioneer in deinstitutionalizations. We were the ones who started the trend of getting everybody out, but we didn't put the services in place to take care of those people. You could probably solve a lot of these problems, obviously, if you had the mental health centers in communities that were set up to take care of people in the way that they were supposed to be in the first place, but they never were. And at this case, in this economy, it doesn't look like they're going to be anytime soon.
Why do you think that is? Because it seems like often, and, you know, especially recently, we'll see people committing these horrible crimes or horrific acts, whether that's something like a school shooting or, you know, a murder of an intimate partner or family member. And it seems like that would sort of galvanize people to actually try to put some money into these services to avert these tragedies in the future.
Most mentally ill people will never hurt anybody except for themselves. And so it's kind of not your problem until it is. And when it is, it's sort of rare and spectacular. And people talk about, you know, we really need to shore up this mental health services gap, you know, all these problems that we have. But actually getting the money to follow, huge amounts of money would have to follow. In the end, it would be cheaper than not doing it, but getting someone to bankroll that up front, you know, getting Congress to pass all the funds for that up front, it doesn't seem realistic.